Good evening, everyone. We're not sure if this is the real world, but the steaks are juicy and delicious. And it's comforting for me to think that my co-presenters might actually not exist.
What is real? How do you define real?
A cylinder on which film, wire, thread, or other flexible materials can be wound.
A lively Scottish or Irish folk dance. For Lou, it's to walk in a staggering or lurching manner, especially while drunk. Which reminds me, has anyone seen him since he and Wang Tian went down the pub?
For goodness sake, real. R-E-A-L. Not real. I don't know if that works with my accent. Real, not real. Real. You did that deliberately, didn't you? Just for that. Playtime is over. Right. On with the news. That should be a bong, but it didn't go. Let me just try this other one. Hold on. There.
Button, the return.
With enemies like that, who needs friends?
Mask debate, at a loss over a profit.
Thinly disguised Flossie nearly has to walk.
Fleet carrier owners suffer from premature congratulation.
Not our favourite kind of pirate radio.
Lou's left someone else to tell us all about what it all means. And Norma's keeping up with the community goings on.
First this evening, it's convoy time! Woo woo! I just realised I need to click this button here, and this will do it. Boink! There we go, and no boings. Oh, working tech, love it. First this evening, it's convoy time. Of course, convoys all leave at different times, take different routes. Don't really mind when they're going to get there. They are all heading for the same location. With operations over in Colonia having come to a close and the Hutton truckers longing for home, the bevy of fleet carriers that have been parked in and around the area began preparations for the return journey. The Hot Monty, occupied only by Hutton's very own Montgomery Python, was first to depart, making the very, very fast trip back to Hutton Space, just in time to do a quick fly round of the systems and keep the Hutton Helper up to date. Commander Monty P, feeling flush with fuel due to the free fuel rush from the Pilots Federation, switched everything off to eke that little bit more from his light years per gallon meter on the dashboard. Next was Ruby, delayed as a result of not being able to find Cecil. Cecil not being able to find the ruby, Cecil's luggage getting lost in transit, and one of those passenger demands that involved asking the carrier commander to go and pick up a few tons of booze before leaving 24 hours after it left. The ruby discovered that commander... I just realised I made my own joke there that wasn't there. Hold on. 24 hours after it left, as opposed to finding out that they wanted booze before they left, after they left, which happens too. 24 hours after it left, the Ruby discovered that Commander Brett Riverboat had fallen asleep in one of the hangars and was surprised to find himself halfway back to the bubble when he woke. Luckily, he was thinking ahead in that way anyway. Last was the For the Mug Cloud Atlas, having taken the long route via some suggestively shaped nebula on the way there. Commander Poppy in tow, as she's always wanted some rude pics for her cabin walls. and appears to be the Atlas personal fuel rat in residence. Is planning on taking a similarly leisurely flight back home again on the hot bus and taking in more rudeness en route. Prophet Velen of the Atlas has been looking around his cockpit this week, telling us that when travelling at 8,008 metres per second, if he floats upside down and peers at the speed indicator, it looks like it says boob. We deplore this childish behaviour and repeat that the answer is never boobs, in the plural or singular, despite Lou's ever hopeful plaintive cries. Now, trying to spell words from digital displays has been in the purview of many a young person in their early curious years, and at such a time, numbers like 531606, that's bogeys when turned upside down, might cause childish gales of laughter. But we expect higher standards from adult pilots. Well, except for Dead Meat GF, of course, for whom plastic poo, snakes that leap out from his nuts, yeah, we do know what we're saying, and whoopee cushions that don't go whoopee, are the height of sophistication. And stink bombs are not only used for their comic potential, but also to cover up for his lack of personal hygiene. We suspect that Prophet Valen has 618806, that too much 32008 has been consumed, so he's a little 4614. And thus, Commander, please fly carefully around 705. 4 plus 5, 7734, Commander. If you've missed the homeward convoy, then we're sure the hot bus will make it back eventually if they don't fall. Excuse me, if they don't fall into the giant Johnson Nebula or get stranded in the clouds of the fluffy jubbly sector. Okay.
Commander Littlebreaker made a mistake this week. No, not his usual one about failing to put one leg in each side when putting on his flight suit, or forgetting that there's only one correct way to use a zero-G toilet hygienically, but something far more serious and far more deadly. Our hapless commander was up against something much trickier than guessing a fiendishly convoluted music theme. Something even more devastating than entering a lift after the shout he had just exited with an evil grin on his face. Littlebreaker metaphorically walked into a bar full of rednecks, insulted their mothers, their sisters and their cousins, and also implied that they might be one and the same person. Then just as the jukebox stopped playing and the only vibrations left coming through the smoke-filled air were a low growl and the sound of a pool cue being broken in half, shouted, "Let's get him, lads!" Only to turn round and cry, "Lads! Lads!" as he realised he was completely and utterly alone. Litho had in fact entered a combat zone and announced his intention to kill all you scumbag, insert faction name here, pilots, before ensuring that all of the ships on his side had arrived, and consequently his radar went redder than Cecil's nose at a New Year's Eve party if it was buried in a baboon's bottom under the glow of a stoplight. At this point, things turned nasty. To say that Littlebreaker's time was up very quickly is an understatement. It was all over before you could hit boost 10 metres from the back wall of a station and shout, "Oh crap!" Cue cries of "Eject! Eject! Eject!" followed by the calm, cool presence of the rebuy screen, where Littlebreaker was handed his ass for the second time in as many minutes. And the moral of this story is, if you're getting into a fight, make sure you know who your friends are.
Albuck and Galnet forums wouldn't be the same without a little dose of salt and an awful lot of argument over things. This in turn mirrors the relationship between the Federation and the media. Whilst ship manufacturers, the Galactic Academy, and anyone with common sense at all is absolutely clear that wearing a remlock is not only advised, but to be considered mandatory on all space flights, there are still those out there that believe in the personal freedom to be dumb. President Hudson of the Federation appears to be one of these. He is insistent that the option to have your REMlog on but popping over your head in emergencies only, or stashed under your seat where you can't reach it, are all valid choices. He has become embroiled in a mass debate with Gulnet as to why the third option is even an option. The mass debating rages on long after his press conferences have finished, with his science advisors, religious advisors, election press team, and just about anyone else taking the opposing view that REMlogs save lives. He's attempting to demonize the visor advisors, bash the bishops, and claim that his controversial views have no effect on his elections. There's no one who likes mass debate more than me, he stated. I'm the mass debater general, a man of the people. I support their freedom and do things their own way. As a great man once said, blaze your own trail. Of course, as long as their way doesn't get in the way of my way, because if it does, I give a bigly no way Jose. What were we talking about again? Five words. Chair, man, REMlog, masturbating, notes, facepalm. Here at Hutton, we are ever safety conscious. So we'd like to remind everyone that wearing a REMlog is the truckery way. The alternative, and this is born out of studying many reports from the apology officer, is a high chance of sucking vacuum. And we wouldn't want that now, would we?
Commander Poppy, one of the Flossy clones, has been gadding about the galaxy on board the FTM Cloud Atlas, scanning systems here, sightseeing there, feeling like it was just the same as being a passenger on a cruise ship. Apart from the non-stop buffets, outrageous prices for the excursions, and cabin boys that hint that they could show you a good time for a special price. Poppy had been enjoying a raucous night in Asteroid Town, with the bright lights of core explosions downing ton after ton of ore, moving on to shots as her limpets went down in one as they expired, making their none too steady way back to her ship. Just another one, she cried. Her shields glowed brightly as she apparently tried to change the path of an asteroid using just her rear thrusters. And suddenly, all of the rocks seemed to be much closer than before and swaying strangely as her ship swayed from side to side. Eventually, it was closing time for the cargo hatch, and in the early hours of the morning, after managing to find her way back to where she thought the big ship had been moored, Poppy found nothing but interstellar dust and, inexplicably, the faint smell of diesel. I'm sure this is where they said we should meet, she mused, and after a short time and a large void extract coffee, managed to find the ship's itinerary in the depths of her handbag, under a packet of extra, extra strong mints, a crumpled banter bus ticket, and, surprisingly, a military-grade taser. And she realised that she probably could get there in her ship. But as she'd spent all her money on refreshments, she'd have to manage on whatever fuel she had on board, and it would be tight. Putting her fuel rat Flossy clone ready on speed dial, but hoping that it wouldn't be needed, since any mention of a fuel rat running out of fuel would be highly embarrassing, Poppy turned off the air conditioning, closed all of the vents, and set off at a steady 56,000 kilometers per hour for the FTM Cloud Atlas, switching off the thrusters as she rode down the gravity wells, keeping the throttle steady, and finally coasting the last 500 kilometers with flight assist off and her fingers crossed. Despite the difficulties in flying a ship when you have your fingers crossed, Poppy managed to reach the fleet carrier intact. When asked, why were you late on board the big ship? Was there no tender? Poppy replied, "Not since I used that cream you recommended." We will, of course, ensure that no mention of this incident will ever reach the public. Flossie's secret is safe with us. Signed, Alvin DeFeo.
I was maybe a bit sharp on that one.
P.S. it says, make sure that this letter is destroyed. We wouldn't want it to be mistaken for a news article. It says here.
There's a big gap. Can't blame me. Is it in the page? End of line. In an unusual move this week, the Pilots Federation announced that they had to announce a delay to the pronouncement in their previous announcement. Owners of fleet carriers all over the galaxy had bought in supplies of Bunting helium-filled balloons that can be used to make yourself sound like Aegis 5060, and of course, cake. All to celebrate that they would no longer be stuck in the tritium doldrums, and that fleet carriers could disperse and no longer all sit around a mere handful of systems in the galaxy. As we know, the problem with finding tritium is due to a software bug in the scanning systems of the ships. The problem with galactic standardization is that the same issue affects every single ship out there, so much for forge your own path. And this problem was due to be fixed yesterday, Wednesday, July the 9th to 23rd and 9th, and the 2 and the 9 and the TH, 29th. It now turns out that in very specific circumstances, i.e. when used to actually scan something, that a message is displayed on the console saying, "So long, suckers!" And the HUD, or HUD, as we in the business call it, shows an icon that looks suspiciously like a chocolate hobnob. Due to the extensive testing that took place beforehand, this issue was not spotted until the last minute, and the weekend's hangovers had had a chance to subside. And so, an emergency meeting of the Emergency Committee, MAMBA, Make All Mistakes Be Absent, was called and declared that it really was too bad of the unnamed miscreant, and look, can't we have a couple of days in a quiet room with some aspirin before we try to fix it? Thus, the team will be rushing, at the weekend, to remove the biscuit crumbs from the scanner code, and that hopefully the balloons will last until Monday, even if the cake's likely to have dried out a bit.
Following the publication of a report into Kamoa pirate interference in Hutton politics, the Dastardly Don's pirates attempted to deprive Hutton's brave followers of the daily bulletins of Alvin's love that they require from HuttonOrbital.com. The mugging marauders took the entirety of the website and hid it below deck on a passing frigate. Really? A frigate? I thought it was just a big galley ass. Oh, do stop sniggering like schoolboys. And refused to tell anyone what had happened to it. Commander Snores, favourite pet of our leader Alvin the Magnificent. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Who's a good boy then? Set sail in his ship, Alvin's Bark. 3 masts, but only 1 master. To recover the booty. Stop sniggering. We are happy to report that Snores was mostly successful. He's managed to recover our website, but the cover did get a little scratched in the process, and so he's had to put up a temporary hoarding. Anyone who sniggers will have to stay on after the show, I warn you. Snows will be getting a helping hand later to get it all up again. Right, I warned you. Yes, you.
Dear Alvin, we have a sparkling opportunity to expand into an additional system. Our influence in LP532-81 is rampant, and there's a whole raft of systems that we could potentially establish ourselves in. Sincerely, the BGS team. Dear BGS team, what the actual vet are you talking about? I have been very vetting clear about not expanding. You dumb flies haven't even taken control of the system we moved into last time everyone got overexcited and ignored me. Every week that right paw snockers tells you what to do. And even though I hate having those things between my teeth, I do try to make sure he gets it right. Just get the Warrenstein 1 and keep everything else steady, or I'll bite you in the... can't quite read that bit. I'm not sure I would if I could. Anyway, I believe the message there is to ease our systems into the comfort zone between 40 and 60%, ensure we win the Warrenstein, and work on increasing our influence in Wolf 1481. In Colonia, we want to do missions and passenger missions for the Colonia Cooperative in the Tira system for today only. From tomorrow, that's after the tick, of course, which I think is about 10 o'clock in the morning, we want to get back to pushing hot call. So missions and passenger missions in tier with a smidgen of data at Dolar Depot. And over to Norma.
Here are the community shenanigans reports. Turning the wheel. They won both fair wars, 4-0, and now own Nian Wu. Keys to the carrier results. No surprise, the winner was Shea Blackwood. SRV Slaughter Bowl, a series of SRV combat events, have their week one results. After a late start, it took only about 3 minutes for the winner to emerge, but no one seems to know who the winning commander is. Despite a few uninvited guests, who at least had the decency to wait until the event proper had finished before raining mines on the location, the event went well. And week two's event is on Sunday, 23rd of August, and we'll bring you details closer to the time.